Grace to you and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading that we have before us this morning is from 1 John chapter 3. We hear verses 16 through 19. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In my humble opinion, one of the most profound quotes in modern film comes from the mouth of an animated snowman named Olaf, who said, "I know what love is. Love is putting someone else's needs before your own." Olaf the snowman, he is saying that love is more than a feeling. Love is a choice, a conscious choice that someone makes to put another person first, to put others before yourselves. To be inconvenienced or to be oppressed or to be injured in some sort of way for the sake of another person. Are you willing to do that? Have you done that? Or maybe the question is, have you done enough of that, as much of that as you should? Consider it this way. Every year I ask my confirmation students, middle schoolers, what is the opposite of love? What is the opposite of this kind of love that Olaf is talking about? And immediately someone always shouts out hate. And that's true when we're talking about the feeling or the emotion of love. But here, if we're defining love as putting others before yourself, what's the opposite of that? It would be putting yourself before others. We call that selfishness. I'm not going to care about other people. This is what I want. This matters to me. I should be able to do whatever I want. I should have every right to go and pursue my own personal happiness, and everyone else should affirm and recognize whatever I want for myself in accordance with my own inward feelings. And even if that might mean that it could cause inconvenience or pain or hurt to other people, this is a real temptation that's so easy for you and me to fall into. This doctrine and teaching of the world around us that is called expressive individualism. The choices that I make for myself are sacred and untouchable. I have every right to do whatever I please, to act in any sort of way in order to gratify myself. But dear friends, do you see what this really is? The world around us treats this as if it's virtuous and even heroic. But we as God's people see it as something else. It is pure selfishness. It is hardening the heart against the ideal that God gives us of love. It's teaching people to put themselves first at any cost. Fulfill your desires. And don't be inconvenienced. Don't be oppressed by others and what others might need. Now, of course, there might be some individuals out there that people are willing to serve, that they're willing to go and put their needs before their own, and especially if they're going to maybe get something out of that. But do you see what happens then? Anytime you do something to get something back, that's no longer love. That's selfishness. Was the Good Samaritan, we talked about him yesterday in chapel, was that Good Samaritan helping that Jewish man because he was expecting something in return? No. He showed love to that man, that dying man on the road, simply because that man needed his help, regardless of who that man was or where he was from or what race he belonged to. Professor Stafford made it clear yesterday, God calls us to put all other people before ourselves. And that is crazy, isn't it? That is a radical kind of love that God calls upon us to have. Jesus even ups the ante when he says that you are to love your enemies, to even do good to those who hate you, to pray for those who persecute you. And that seems crazy. It's challenging and difficult. But you know what is even crazier than that? Is the fact that God doesn't just ask you and I to do this, but he does this himself for you and me. As our text pointed out, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. This is the kind of crazy love that Jesus has shared with you and me. God Almighty, the ruler of the entire universe, he makes a selfless, self-sacrificing choice. He chooses to be inconvenienced, to be oppressed, to set aside his needs, and to suffer torture and death to provide help to you and me. To you and me, who are honestly unworthy of any help because we have been selfish. And by our selfish actions, we should have been rightly considered to be enemies of God. What incredible love this is that God has shown to you and me. He owed us absolutely nothing, and yet he gave you and me everything. What awesome love. I love how St. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 5. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. We have a God. You have a God who chooses love. In fact, we would say that every single action that God has ever taken has come about because of love. Creation, the fact that he made us, that he gave us this world, that in itself is an act of love. And then after people ruined his perfect creation, God could have hit the reset button, Control-Alt-Delete, but he didn't. Instead, he chose to continue loving, promising these people who brought selfishness into the world, promising them the solution in a savior from their sins, pointing them to Jesus, continuing to provide and care for them. And what patience God demonstrated throughout the Old Testament history. We see people exhibiting selfishness again and again, and yet what does God choose? He chooses to love them. He sends them prophet after prophet. At times he disciplines them because he loves them, to draw them back to himself. And all the while he's pointing them ahead, reminding them of that coming Savior who would come and redeem them from their sins. And then, when the time had fully come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God the Son, who has been sitting on his throne in heaven, he humbles himself. He comes into this world as one of us. Like you and me, he comes as our brother, our fellow human being. What great love we find in the incarnation. And during his earthly life here on earth, Jesus, he subjected himself to the law that we were under, the law that we had obliterated because of all of our selfishness. Jesus, however, he kept that law perfectly. Jesus loved God and he loved his neighbors in everything he did. Never once was there any hint of serving himself. There was no expressive individualism ever found in Jesus. He puts you and your needs before himself. And by living with pure love, Jesus earns perfect righteousness that he now lovingly puts upon you and me. And talk about being inconvenienced, oppressed, injured. Our Lord Jesus suffered all of these things as he was arrested, as he was tortured and killed. He laid down his life for us. He chooses to go to the cross to pay the price for all of our selfishness. And realize, as you think about what Jesus did on Good Friday, please don't treat it as if Jesus was some sort of helpless victim, some weak victim, some victim of circumstance who got dragged into this. If that were the case, well, then what he did on Good Friday would not have been love. No, Jesus willingly goes to the cross. He chooses to put you and me and our need for the forgiveness of our sins before himself. He was committed to this because of the love that he has for you. As Jesus explained, no one has greater love than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus has done for you and me. And then on top of all of this, what other great love you and I have, especially on Easter morning, we have comfort in the promise that just as Jesus is risen from the dead, the day is coming when he's going to lovingly call you out of your own grave as well. And because Jesus is no longer dead, but he is alive, that means that the love that he has for you and me continues to flow to you and me today still as he reigns from his throne in heaven. And that love is flowing to you today as he comes to you, as he serves you, as he strengthens you, as he comforts you, as he forgives you, as he shares his word with you, which is what happens every single day in this blessed place, in chapel services, and in your classes, and in church, and in your devotions and Bible studies. He comes to proclaim again and again to you the love and selflessness that he has and desires to show to you. And that love flows to you also in your baptism. When you were baptized, it was a great proclamation of love that God has given to you, that you belong to him. He washes your sins away. And every time we remember the fact, I have been baptized, that proclamation of love is renewed to you again and again. And as we get to gather at his altar on Sunday mornings, to eat and to drink Christ's own body and blood in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. What great love is being shared with you and me. In these places, God is proclaiming his love to you. He is sharing his love with you. And he is moving you and your heart. You now know what love is. You have received this love. You and I, we love this love. That sounds strange to say. We are lovers of love, but it's true. We appreciate it. We value it. We depend upon it. We believe in it. And this also means that we want to reflect this kind of love to the people around us. God didn't just talk big about love. He let that love flow to us through his actions. And that's something that we value as well. To set aside our selfishness, when we are presented with temptations to serve ourselves, we can choose to show love, to set aside that selfishness and to put others, to put God, to put our neighbors before ourselves. John brings this up in our text. He points out that those who know and value this love, because they, first of all, have received it, they're happy and they're willing to show this kind of love to the people around them. And so we too, we can even lay down our lives for the brethren. And when we see a brother in need, we don't shut up our hearts from them. No, we want to express love to each other. And realize what a blessing and what a joy it is to live in a place where love is valued. Dear friends, don't take this for granted. What a blessing you have, especially here among your fellow Christians. What we get to experience here on campus at Bethany, or that we get to experience in our church families, where we're not celebrating and promoting selfishness. Instead, we are rejoicing in selfless love. What a blessing that is. For example, a couple years ago, my son Max, he was cast for a role here in our theater department, a child's role in The Snow Queen. And as we were getting ready for the play, my wife and I, we were excitedly telling our friends and families about how cool this was for Max to be able to be in this performance, how every day we would drop him off and he'd go in. And people started looking at us with horror and alarm. You mean you drop a third grader off every day on a college campus and let him go fend for himself with all of those college kids? Is that really wise? And we responded without hesitation. We saw firsthand how the other cast members and the faculty here possessed this kind of love for Max. They sought to help him. We knew that they were putting his needs before their own. We saw evidence, and we enjoyed firsthand a God-pleasing, loving environment. And we thank and we praised God for this, and we continue to do so. What a blessing it is to know and to be able to share with each other this kind of selfless love. Moved and inspired by what John writes in our text in the opening verse, that we know what love is because Jesus has laid down his life for us. Glory be to him and to the love that he has given to us and for moving our hearts so now this love flows to others. Amen. Please rise for prayer. O Lord, we thank and praise you for the selfless love that you have shown to us, who have acted in selfishness and should have been seen as your enemies. We thank you for sending Jesus, who laid down his life to pay for our sins and who now covers us in his righteousness so that we know your loving smile rests upon us. We know that we are your beloved children, and we know that we will be with you forever in heaven. Lord, let this kind of love now flow out of our hearts to all around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.